Well, I'm going to read for you from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 23, verse 18. And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas." And the title I've given this morning is, "Are you on the side of the murderer, or on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ?" But before I go on to this verse, I will read for you Matthew chapter 10, verse 26 to 28. Matthew chapter 10, verse 26 to 28. "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known." Now these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He told his disciples to go and preach the good news to the people of Israel. And the Lord also told his disciples to go and preach the gospel to all nations. And in the process of preaching the gospel and teaching the word of God, Jesus said that that which is hidden in the hearts of men will be made known. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ opens the curtain of our inner life. It brings down the mask that we put on. It tears the veil that we hide behind. So fear no one when you proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known." The Lord's word is a weapon. The Bible says the weapon of our warfare is not carnal. Christians don't fight with bombs and swords and guns, nor do we revel with champagne, dancing, and have immoral fun. Both of these are done by the influence of Satan. So, while France was having fun with eagles of death metal, the terrorists were pumping metal bullets and bombs into people. Madonna, in her tribute song, later said, "Let us all do what we want. Why can't we all do what we want?" That is exactly what each group were doing. Both the parties have been glorifying the spirit of darkness. Can you see this, brethren? You want to remain sane? You want your children to remain sane? Then you must call upon the Lord and obey His word. You reap what you sow. Is it not? The Lord Jesus Christ also told His disciples that what I tell you in darkness, meaning what I tell you in secret, speak it out in the broad daylight. Make it known to all. Jesus, the Lord, told the disciples, "What you hear in your ear," meaning when He and what He reveals to you, "tell it out loud." What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. This goes to show how much we must depend on the word of God. Listen to His word, dear friends, and proclaim it loud. Now this week, the constant words that I have been hearing is from the hymn. And the line of the hymn is, "A murderer they save, the prince of life they slay." It is from the hymn, "My song is love unknown." Are these words taken from the Bible? Yes, The Bible tells us that the people of Israel asked Pilate to set free Barabbas, the murderer, the rioter, and demanded that Jesus be put to death on the tree. The leaders of the Jewish temple had already arrested Jesus of Nazareth, and having tried Jesus according to their religious laws, they could not find any fault in him. If they had found any fault in him, they would have stoned him to death. Not able to find any fault, they took him to Pilate, the Roman governor. They took Jesus to Pilate so that they could twist his hands and force him to put Jesus to death. Politicians are in the hands of the people. As long as they allow them to do whatever they want to do, they will vote for them. Pilate could not find any fault in Jesus either. He tried his best to escape from the hands of the Jews and at the same time rescue Jesus. It was a necessary custom to release one prisoner every year that the Jews asked for. And Pilate first said, "I will chastise Jesus and release him." But this is what the crowd cried back. Luke chapter 23 verse 18. "And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas," who was a certain sedition made in city. For a certain sedition made in the city. Sedition meaning insurrection, revolution, and for murder. And he was cast into prison. But Pilate, wanting to release Jesus again, spoke to them in verse 21. But they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And then Pilate said to them the third time, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him, punish him, and let him go." But with loud voices they demanded that Jesus be crucified and Barabbas be released. And Pilate agreed to do what they demanded. He set the murdering revolutionary free and hanged Jesus on the tree. The people of Israel denied Jesus, the Holy One, the Righteous One, the Powerful One, the Faithful One, the Glorious One, the Merciful One, the Creator, the Loving One, the Benevolent One, the One who forgives and is ready to lay down his life for his enemies. Apostle Peter, on the day of Pentecost, being filled with the Holy Spirit, said to those that mocked the disciples of the Lord Jesus, "But he denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." Who was this murderer, this revolutionary? From the little we know about this man, his name was Barabbas, and he was in prison. He was caught for creating riots, insurrection, revolt against the Romans, and he had committed murder. Evangelist Mark in his gospel tells us, in chapter 15 verse 7, "And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them, and that had insurrection with him, and that made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection." The other gospel informs us that he was also a robber. Robber. So he was a thief, a rioter, and a murderer. You know what happens when riots take place on our streets even today? Three things happen. They riot, they rob, they kill. But particularly robbing and murder goes together. One who is ready to rob will also be ready to kill. To rob means to take from another that which does not belong to you. To rob means to grab that which is not yours. This means you can take a pen from another, you can take money from another, you can take a house from another, you can take a car from another, and if you can take all this, you can also take life from another. To rob means to possess another man's things. Killing someone is to possess that person's life. It is no wonder that a person that kills another person has nightmare all his life. He becomes a fugitive. Cain became a fugitive. He killed his brother Abel. He was on the run because he was afraid that someone will find him and put him to death. Therefore, he built a city, we are told. The Hebrew word for city is interesting. The Hebrew word for city is given as anguish, terror, a place of waking, a place where you are on guard. No wonder that every city had its wall. Why? For the fear that this man of guilt, who is afraid of death, wants to be secure. Don't ever think that those that kill others have a peaceful time. They don't. They don't. They are haunted by nightmare. Some years ago, I read a book about Bombay underworld gangs. These underworld gang members are always on their guard. They live by robbing and killing. And some of them told the author of this book that they constantly get dreams about the people they have killed. Now, you may be able to live with the things that you have robbed, but not with the life that you have killed. It will haunt you, remain with you, because you have grabbed his life. When the soldiers return from long years of war, killing and seeing men killed, their life is never the same again. Never the same again. You must have heard the expression, "Let his blood be upon us." What is blood? The Lord has commanded that we should not eat blood. Why? This is because the life of a living thing is in the blood. When someone says, "Let his blood be upon us," this person is actually saying, "Let his life be upon us." Pilate did not want Jesus' blood upon him. He did not want Jesus' life to haunt him. So he said, "I wash my hands." Let me read for you this portion of the scripture, Matthew chapter 27, verse 24 and 26. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be upon us and our children. His blood be upon us and our children." And so Barabbas was released and Jesus was scourged and delivered to be crucified. They knew what they were asking for, but they thought that Jesus is just yet another ordinary man. He is not. He is the Son of God. He lived not only for the first century, but dear friends, he lives forever. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is risen. He lives. So those that ask their children be cursed by the blood of Jesus, they got it. 2,000 years of displacement, millions killed, living in fear, and no peace even today. now, at this time, instead of hearts being softened, they were only hardened. This should make us learn a lesson, dear friends, and not make the same mistake in rejecting Christ Jesus and taking the side with robbers, rioters, and murderers. The Lord Jesus Christ did not kill a single person. He did not harm any man, woman, or child. He was sinless. He is sinless. He did not grab other person's life, but he allowed his own life to be broken and allowed his own blood to be shed. He did not pay back evil for evil. Down the line of history, we have known many murderers, many rioters. They all believed that they were doing good. Without doubt, they had much following. Hitler killed in the name of pure race. The whole of German people, they believed that it was good and right. Karl Marx propagated the idea that we should all share the profits equally, that in order to make this happen, the end justifies the means. In order to bring in the change, anything is allowed, even killing, robbing, and rioting. Down the line of history, we find men committing themselves to revolt and to kill in order to bring in change. The names that are involved are many. Many. Mao, Stalin, Lenin, Ernesto Che Guevara, commonly known as Che, was an Argentinian Marxist revolutionary. He was a physician. He was an author, guerrilla leader, diplomat, and military theorist. He also helped Fidel Castro in overturning Cuban government. I saw a poster of Che Guevara on the internet. On the poster was this question: if Che lived today, would he convert to Islam? I leave that for you to answer. But this much is sure: violence attracts violence. In our modern days, we have heard our political leaders using the slogan of change in their election campaign. And in order to bring change, we have seen the United Nations using guns and bombs against any nation that will not toe their line. And we have the Islamist revolutionary. Their aim is to win religious war or political war through murder. Murder. Murder is becoming a way of life in schools and on the high street. If you don't like someone, finish him. Take his life. If the government does not give us what we ask for, gather people, march forward, and get it by violence. It begins well. It begins with peace and ends up with violence. The Lord God has forbidden murder. The Lord has made it very clear, Genesis chapter 9 verse 6, whoever shed man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. This warning rings out clear and loud. Violence begets violence. The sixth commandment clearly demands, saying, thou shalt not kill. The question we ask today is, what is your choice? Who do you choose? The whole world is embroiled with violence. And if not violence, drunkenness. If not drunkenness, immorality. If not immorality, robbery. If not robbery, then outright worship of Satan. These are very dark days. Very dark days. The days are dark because every day of your life and my life, we have to live making a choice. not so much whether to take this job or that, this university or that, this trade or that, but whether you should choose violence, drunkenness, immorality, robbery, outright give yourself to the worship of Satan, or choose Jesus Christ. Besides this, darkest days are coming when you will be like one among the crowd in Jerusalem that had to make a choice between Barabbas the murderer or Jesus the Holy One and the just. You might say right now, this will not happen to me. I am for Christ Jesus. Very good. I am a Christian. I am a Catholic. I am an Anglican. I am a Witness of Jehovah. I am a Pentecostal. I am a Seventh-day Adventist and Evangelical. Remember, dear friends, there were many that were for Christ before he was arrested, tried, beaten, and made to stand at the judgment seat of Pilate. Multitude followed Jesus. They ate the bread and the fish that Jesus multiplied. They heard his gracious words and were astonished. They received his promises and they were healed of their diseases. They followed him from one end of the nation to the other. They even waved branches at him and welcomed him in the city of Jerusalem as their king. Hosanna to the Son of David, they said. But soon, this very crowd, these very people found Barabbas attractive and compelling. Barabbas stood there before the crowd as a hero. A man who fought for the rights of the people, of the nation. He was a champion for human rights, but he was a robber. He stirred riots to gain civil liberties from the Roman Empire. He robbed. He led a protest. He killed. He believed that the end justified the means in order to get results. Perhaps he was like the English Robin Hood or the Scottish William Wallace, the Braveheart. What is your choice? Leaders like Barabbas or Christ Jesus? You want to put yourself to test? Watch the movies in which these characters are portrayed. And you will surely say, what a great guy this was. I wish I was like him. Violence is decried by the politicians. Yet, our idiot box, our cinemas, our novels are full of violence, horror, and bloodshed. We always feel one with a man who commits violence to destroy evil. James Bond is projected as a savior of Britain and of the world, but he too escapes our judgment and rejection from being a sexual predator and for violently killing men without having any remorse whatsoever. Killing is sports for him as it is for his enemies. He kills without feelings. This is the dangerous part of it, dear friends. Sin attracts sinners, and so does a sinner attract sinners. Between Barabbas and Jesus Christ, Barabbas was attractive to the crowd. They considered Barabbas to be their own. They considered Barabbas to have the same blood as theirs, same value as theirs, same thinking as theirs. Jesus Christ, he was different. He was different. Moreover, they saw that when the real test of fighting evil came, Jesus was apparently found to be weak, meek, and humble. He apparently stood without strength to withstand evil, without power to subdue opposition. He was simply being led like a lamb to the slaughter. There is nothing attractive in Christ's character for sinners, is there? There is nothing compelling in this kind of a character for sinners. So they shouted, "Away with this man. What can I get from him? He's useless. Away with this man and release to us Barabbas." They wanted to see action. Even if it meant killing the chief priest and his counselors and the Roman governor Pilate, they wanted just that. It is no wonder that millions want to follow a leader that takes up arms and live up to their expectation. If not violence, then they want to follow a leader that will allow them to get drunk, smoke, party, do orgies, dance, and do whatever each one want to do. People can identify themselves with these leaders because the same desire is found in all of us. All have sinned and fallen short of the standard of God. But what do you get in return after getting a victory through violence and bloodshed? What do you get in return? What did the crowd in Jerusalem get in return for demanding the release of Barabbas? What did they get in return for becoming one in solidarity with the high priest and the religious leaders? The Romans ultimately came, and as Jesus had prophesied, they pulled down their temple and burnt it down. Not only that, but the people of Israel were dispersed from their land until today. They neither have the temple and neither have the peace. Shalom. Shalom is the word they desire for. Shalom is the one they desire for. But the very shalom they rejected and crucified. So how can they have peace? Yet God continues to love them, and He will show them His love till the end, bringing many in the days to come, as He is doing now. But Jesus Christ, who died as a weak and humble person, as a defeated man, is highly exalted and reigns and rules from heaven. His kingdom has extended from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. He has gone to become the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And every knee must bow down and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. What has happened to those nations that expanded and ruled by shedding human blood? They have become extinct. Extinct? Whoso shed man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. You want to live forever without being enlightened, then eliminated, sorry. You don't want to be eliminated, then you must choose Christ Jesus, the Son of God. Everything and everyone that is not on the side of Christ must be burnt up and destroyed. If it occurs to you today, and you know that your choice must be Jesus Christ, but at the same time, you cannot bring yourselves to be on His side, then you are on the right track. Make a deliberate act of surrender to Christ. Make more search on the attributes of Christ. Learn more about His character, His unconditional love, His divinity. And each time you see His goodness, His purity, His love and greatness and justice, give yourself to Him. Give yourself to Him. Plead before Him. to come and take charge of your life. Pray without ceasing to give you His Holy Spirit to dwell within you and to be your teacher. Everyone on this earth has been cut off from the Holy God because they have opted for a murderer and a robber. There is a robber, a rioter, and a murderer in every soul. Every soul. Every soul born on this earth is inclined towards murder and robbing. In our human veins run the blood of a murderer. It needs to be cleansed. It needs to be purified. And this can be done by making a choice for the pure and holy Son of God. And you, dear friends, saints of the Most High God, the Antichrist will soon declare a war against you. Power will be given to him to make war and to overcome the saints. To overcome does not mean that he will be able to win you over to him. To overcome here means he will be able to trouble and kill the saints. Let us prepare ourselves now. Let us learn to be faithful and to endure all hardship with conviction that comes from the depth of our hearts. Cherish the hope that Christ has placed in our hearts. Brethren, hope is such a gift that no other man on this earth has besides those born of God. Keep it burning. Keep this hope alive. How? By faith. Exercise your faith. Live your life according to the faith of Jesus Christ. Study how Jesus lived his life of faith in his Father. He did what God told him to do. He spoke what he heard from the Father. He fully trusted in his Father's wisdom and power. He loved the Father and he loved the people just as the Father loved him. This is what we must do. Dear friend, the signs of the coming of the Antichrist is all around us. Let us, with great fervent desire to love the Lord and to love one another, let us read the Word of God, learn, hear, and live standing on the side with Christ. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we pray, O Lord, that Thou will never leave us nor forsake us. Thou hast promised that Thou will never allow us to be snatched by anyone. Lord, we want to stand secure in Thee. Help us, O Lord, to do all we can, day in and day out, live our life as if it is our last day on this earth, worshipping Thee, living a pure and holy life, and being Thy witness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.